Gospel according to Luke in chapter 2 and commencing to read at verse 22. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, we're reading it. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all our souls. We would like again this evening, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, to interest you in the subject matter of these early days and years of the Lord's life. We do bless God for your interest at all in the Word of God, and more particularly in this most precious passage of the Word of God. We have been dealing, of course, with many subjects, and digress possibly a little bit into the Gospel by Matthew to see or to fill out the idea or the information of the Lord's birth. Well, tonight we're going to deal primarily with Christ amongst the doctors. But before we do so, we want you to see the great joy that Christ brought to that very aged couple, Simeon and Anna. And we're going to see how that, even although Mary has been spoken to and been the vessel of divine choice, how very, very quickly she seems to get out of the way in a sense. And we're going to show that you can be near to Christ one day and yet ever so far away the next. In fact, the Gospels would teach that in two breaths, one breath, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the next breath he said, "Suffer it, say, not to be, Lord." And the Lord had to say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou savourest not the things that be of God." So that it is possible to be right at one minute and to be wrong in the very next. Well, in these most beautiful passages, we want to show how God was causing Israel to see Christ at the varying stages. You do understand, don't you, why God just doesn't send his son at 30 years of age. You see, we as mortals cannot bear divine revelation. Were a transfigured Christ to have come to earth, men must be blinded at the glory of the blessed Lord Jesus. But God, by stages, he allows the truth to dawn upon us. He never allows truth to burst upon us. He allows truth to dawn upon us that we might be able to bear it, that we might be able to assimilate it, that we might be able to imbibe it and understand it. And God never ever moves in the experiences of his people in a swift way. He never moves swiftly by revelation, and he never moves swiftly in condemnation. What I want to press upon you is this, that what we are really beholding is the varying stages of the revelation of God in his Son. First the ear, and then the blade, and then the full form. You find that the ear, I take that to be the moment of his incarnation. I take the 12 years of age to be the blade of the corn. And when you come to him being 30 years of age and handled by John in the prime of his manhood, I take it that he's then the full head of corn. And isn't it marvelous how tenderly and how slowly he revealed himself unto his people? Well, this evening, just before we start on that particular matter, we do want to suggest to you how Christ became the all-absorbing passion of these two dear elderly souls. I think of old Simeon. I used to think years ago that he was a sort of priest, or that he was something like that, and yet close observation will show you that it's not intimated what he is, or what his job is, or anything of that nature. There was a certain man in Jerusalem. What do I want to make out of that little point? Well, you see, you don't really need to be very important at all to really have Christ revealed to you. You remember in 2 Corinthians when Paul is talking about getting taken to the third heaven. You remember he didn't say, hey, Paul was taken to the third heaven, or an apostle was taken to the third heaven. He says, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Three times he says that. But he says, the man that was taken to heaven was a man in Christ. And if you have got links with Christ, there is no height that you cannot rise to. There is no revelation that God will not reveal to you. If you have had personal dealings and relationships with Christ, then their heavens are open to every man that is in Christ. Just one little proviso in that passage. He says, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Three times repeated, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. What he's saying is this. The man didn't know whether he was living or dead. The man was unconscious of the flesh. And men that get taken into third heaven scene and see those heavenly visions, and see the things that cannot be uttered publicly, are those who are unconscious of the flesh. If you still get hankerings after the world, if you still those passions that are unsubdued, if you still get those ambitions that are still unrealized, then you'll never be taken unto higher ground.
But if you're unconscious of the flesh, and you've died to the world, then remember there's a possibility that these heavenly matters might be open to your view. So we want this to come in upon you, that here is a man, a certain man in Jerusalem. And notice the joy of it. He was in the very right place. And he was in the right place at the right time. And you notice that the Holy Ghost is coming in prominently now in the early chapter of Luke. The Holy Ghost has not been operating for nigh 700 years. The Holy Ghost has hardly been operating at all. But now he operates upon Mary. Now he operates upon Simeon. Now he's moving in old Anna. The Holy Ghost is coming forward now. You see, it needs conditions for the Holy Ghost to move. And it needs pure hearts and clean lives for the Holy Ghost to operate. Oh, I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost comes in and reveals to him that he'll not see death until he has seen the Lord Christ. Now he is the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord as to his sovereignty, Jesus as to his humanity, Christ as to his messianic glory. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in some sinful heart tonight, including our own, we might love to think about him as our Savior. Some might have arrived at the thought that he is the Christ. But you know, the Holy Ghost revealed to Simeon a sweeter thought than that, that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. You see, he was the Lord Christ before he ever was ours. And this old man is going to come into fellowship with God and come into the enjoyments of God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that God has shared his eternal enjoyment in Christ with us? God has fed upon Christ from all eternity. God has found all his joy in Christ. Isn't it a mercy? Isn't it grace, exceeding grace, that God should share his Son with the likes of us? Isn't it a shocking shame that I should treat Christ with disdain? That I should not pray, that I should not seek his face, or clasp his hands, or lean upon his most available breast to lie on, when God has fed on Christ eternally, and yet he has made him over unto us. But remember, he was the Lord's Christ. One point more. I want you to think of Calvary for a minute. And the most of us here tonight, we think of Calvary, he died for me. He was the goat upon which the Lord's blood fell, and the sins were all confessed over his head. Yes, thank God, we can all say, he died for me. Do you know there was something greater than Calvary than that? Do you know that God received into his holy nostril a fragrance and a smell that no other man had ever caused to come near to God? Blessed fragrance of the obedience of that one offering who in the eternal spirit offered himself without spot unto God. Oh, we rejoice tonight what Calvary has been to us, but do you know, I believe this, that the very curtains of heaven are impregnated with a sweet savor of the death of Christ at Calvary. I believe that the very air of heaven is charged with it. The sweet fragrance of that death. Ah, it is never need manhood. Christ gave something to God that humankind never gave before. Perfect, blessed, sinless, holy obedience, even unto death. No one will ever estimate, none but thyself, O God, can estimate all that Christ was when God took from his hand. And to be handful from Calvary. I do believe there was something in Calvary for God that I'll never value and never even understand. But God has valued it and God has appreciated it. And so he's not just only my Savior. He's the Lord Christ. Would to God we could get our minds elevated. The Lord Christ. Don't speak about him glibly. And don't address him as you. He's the Lord Christ. Your Isaiah wanted to fly away. He noticed the cherubim wanted to fly away and cover their feet and veil their eyes in the presence of the almost majesty of the throne.
May we not treat him lightly?
Oh, I appeal to you tonight. Understand, he wasn't to fly until he saw the Lord.
You know, every year old Simeon saw the Lord.
In those limited days of this gospel chapter 2, what is it like to us tonight?
And the true Lord's revelation of all our epistles, what should Christ be to all our souls?
For it is might enhance Christ in your and your heart tonight, and the tongue of the Lord Christ.
Oh, you should be satisfied with him.
God is satisfied. You should be ravished with Christ, for God has been ravished with Christ.
Oh, understand tonight. There is quite nothing in this life like knowing and loving and adoring Christ. Notice, if you're the sinner, you have a death over the back. If you're the sinner in here. I was thinking of tonight, there's a lovely picture here. You know it, you have the Christ responding. You have the responder. I feel it at every moment. All right, you hear about it. All right, you know in the Bible is coming, but here's the very moment when Christ is presented. Have you had Christ presented to you 1,000 times over in the gospel? Have you seen his bleeding hand and bleeding face? Have you seen all his winsomeness and all his glory and all his shame upon the tree?
Well, I must be here. I'm presenting Christ to you. What ails you?
Is there anything in Christ that's curious? Is there anything in Christ that will turn you away from him? All beauty may we ever see in God's beloved Son.
It's
lovely. I present him to you tonight. And I tell you this, you might have heard like Simeon. And you might have had revelations of the Holy Spirit and convicting you like Simeon.
But there'll come a moment when Christ is presented to you and you must be happy.
My dear old brother in the meeting, I appeal to you now. Never you tire of lifting Christ up before God. And never you tire and think your day is past for waving Christ before his door. Oh, listen, there's nothing better for your old heart than to have the warmth of Christ close to you. Draw Christ close to your heart. Keep near to Christ. Keep him up high. Keep him near your heart. Lifted him up in his arms and he blessed God. You know, it has been a difficulty to me over the years. How people who claim to have Christ in their heart and yet have nothing to say about him. That's a great difficulty. I know everyone isn't talking. And I know that everyone hasn't good gifts. I know that. We have a dear old man, he come back to the Lord, oh, truly born again, a godly man. He fell away and he come back after some number of years. I'll never forget the first morning he rose up, a little man. He trembled before he rose in God's presence. He said, oh God, I've come to wave your son. I've come to wave your son. And he said, Lord, I don't want to take up all your time because there's a whole lot of people in this meeting all sitting waiting for their baptism to get to God. He wants it in his latter days to really worship God. You dear old men, give the meeting a lead. You must have a long experience with God. You must have had a lot of communion with God. You must have had a lot of prayer with God. By this time you must have the scriptures embedded in your heart. Those lovely bits about Christ and the prophet, in the Psalms and in all the scriptures. Here's a dear old man. And he's lifting up Christ in his arms. Dear old brother, he's the Christ of the old man. Oh, he's the Christ of Mary too. I thought that the other night. But he's the Christ of the old as well. And so he listens. And he blesses God. And so do you notice too that just at that instant, it says there came in another personage. He's a most wonderful person, his old Anna. And notice even by this time that the tribes are still known of the tribe of Asher. And you go home, I remember, still in our country, that is, those that would still be devoted. In the houses years ago in our land, they used to have vast pictures of the tabernacle and vast ones of the priest with their accoutrements on and the swinging censers and all these things. That littered all the houses. Of course, people don't want that in the houses now. You see horses dancing in the sea now and ducks flying in the air. All these kind of pictures, you see. And everyone's ashamed of these old pictures. But if you notice that old picture, you'll find the ashes right at the gate of the entrance to the tabernacle. She's of the tribe of Asher. And she coming in at that instant.
Give thanks likewise unto the Lord.
How many arguments have raged round about her age? And you know, of course, that only one woman's age in the Bible is ever given. You all know that, don't you? Women's ages are not given in the Bible. And some have even made a mistake about this.
Well, I do think that the very least that she is
105 years of age. Well, I never got any scholarship for maths or anything like that, but I see that she's 105 years of age. Why am I making a lot of that? I'm making a lot to support what I said already. I believe that the age has gone upon a man and woman that interest in things of God and Christ and spiritual things doesn't need to wait. And I want you to show you something else, that even though she had been without a partner for a whole 8 to 4 years, her interest in divine things didn't change. Is your husband the support of your spiritual life? Is your wife the support of your spiritual life? Well, mind you, I know it's hard to get on without a good godly wife.
I think everybody should have a life of their own as well.
I believe a man and a woman should have a life with God that nobody knows about.
She should have a fellowship with God all by himself.
Mind you, if Anna had been depending on her husband's fellowship 84 years, this wasn't a few months or a few years. This wasn't 4 years. This was 84 years. And the minute her husband died, fasting, and attendance upon the temple, night and day, night and day.
Ah, would to God we could learn that it's difficult to get it over. Would to God we could learn that Christ should be the all-absorbing portion of our life.
That we shouldn't need this and that one and the other one. Many a good man has fallen away because another man has been taken away. Do you remember that man that went away to the wall because the old priest died? Do you remember? He just served because of the old priest's influence. You have a life with God. And coming in at that instant, you likewise gave thanks to God. Now I take the likewise there. It's not the idea that she spoke out or anything like that, but that she likewise took the child into her arms. Oh, she would have loved a child those 7 years that she was married to her husband, but God had never given her that. But now she's handling a child. Oh, whatever she could get it. Would ever an honor be any greater? Suppose she'd reared 10 sons. They never could have been lit like this one in her arms. Oh, and understand, there are joys that are greater than the joys of earth. There are things that are greater than marriage and family life. There are things that are beyond nature. Spiritual things. And when all the rest have faded and gone, and death has parted all the others, and the grave has swallowed them up, so is the Christ when the big storms come in the light. Is the Christ when you're sitting over the empty barrel? Is the Christ when you're sitting over the hospital bed? If he isn't so, then there's something wrong with this that we've got.
Christ is capable of reposing and enrapturing and ravishing every heart, every stage of human life.
In the Virgin, just a teenager. In Joseph, a mature man. In Simeon, an old man. In Simeon, an old woman. In John the Baptist, a man in the prime of his manhood. Christ is everything to him. You'll make 1,000 mistakes. You'll miss the road. You may know church doctrine. You may have the right men's books. You may have the right man as your friends. But there's just nothing like knowing Christ just all.
Is it the most amazing thing? But while Christ is the Christ of all his people, isn't it marvelous that there is a sense in which you've got a whole Christ to yourself to walk and to have fellowship with and to be in love with? Oh, there is nothing just like this. speaking again at that instant, he sang to us back to God. Now someone's worrying about the leading of the Spirit now. I've always noticed this. And a man and woman set their life to please God. God never had him in the man. You want direction about divine guidance and leading? You set your will to God. And you make the bent of your life.
In our country years ago, the men used to come along and preach, what we need is balance. I used to look up and wonder what they were all talking about.
You see, my friend, I believe in balance too, but balance Godward.
Let the balance fall over Godward to holiness.
To righteousness, to charity, to peace, to loving kindness.
Let the balance, oh, don't talk about balancing over the other way or playing cat and mouse with the world or anything like that.
Oh, don't miss the road.
God always gives guidance to them. A bent of their life that turns to work.
I want to ask you a question tonight.
Is the bent of your life towards God?
Are you more anxious about prayer and pleasing God and getting to know His will and living a Christ-like life than any other thing that absorbs your time and passion?
Do you understand? Most people are getting worried why they don't see this and they don't see that and they don't feel this and that and the next thing.
Let me tell you, put God to the test! Put God to the test!
I've never known a saintly soul at every fifteen.
I've never known a man that exercised himself that hadn't divine guidance.
And she coming in at that point, that instant, gave thanks likewise to God. I could stay here all night. I won't do it. Did you notice there was guidance for a man? And don't you notice there was guidance for a woman? You know what I believe? I believe a woman can be a holy of a man.
To someone, would you have chapter and verse?
I would indeed. Jesus said, holy men of God, who is under the hill.
And Peter the holy, and the same writer says, holy women of old, holy women of old.
So the royal gift is different in the sexes. Holiness is open to all. To someone, I would like to be a speaker. I would like to pray in the meeting. I would like to take part. I would like to be more.
The greatest thing in life is not to be a speaker. Take part in the meeting. The greatest thing in life is to be a doer.
We used to sing it in our land years ago. I sometimes give it out occasionally, and sometimes have a bit of a kind of guilt complex because no one else sings it.
More holiness to me.
Because other people talk a lot about holiness,
do you think that we're hearing to talk about holiness to come at our house, O Lord, for us? Everyone to be in time.
I'm not getting at you. Holy, holy men and holy women. And the joy of the Lord can be the women's portion as well
as the men. Oh, what a joy Mary had. Oh, what an honor Mary Magdalene had.
Oh, what an honor the women of Galilee 8 of Luke and Seth 3. What an honor they had.
So you're not left out at all because God would intend you to aspire unto holiness.
Isn't it lovely when we read concerning them going up to Jerusalem, for we must pass along?
Isn't it beautiful to notice that both the parents went up? Both Mary and Joseph went up. Now it's obvious from the other Gospels that there's other children. And that Mary could quite well, it's quite a distance from Nazareth,
should that trip to Jerusalem. I noticed that Mary and Joseph were.
I noticed something else, that the law never commanded the women to go up at all.
So the law says that the males are here 3 times before me.
But the women are not commanded to go up.
And isn't this a beautiful trait about Mary? That she actually gives evidence that she wants to go up.
I'm pleading for you tonight to understand. But while the man, the husband, is the head and responsibility and control is invested in the head, isn't it lovely to see a personal, genuine, spiritual interest in the woman herself? And so the both of them go up. But isn't that a lovely example? Isn't that a lovely example in a Christian home? That the two of them go up? That the two of them are interested? That the two of them pray? That the two of them are anxious? What a powerful, united example to a family.
I hope your family doesn't see the lethargy and the apathy about your interest in the prayer.
One day I tell you when you come to remonstrate with them, they'll throw it back in your face.
And it will be a most unsavory taste in your mouth.
And there'll be a united front. Lovely, isn't it? Irksome, difficult responsibilities. Sacrifice to be made. All that.
But both of them are up. Both of them are
up. Isn't it lovely too to see the child now, 12 years of age?
Isn't it marvelous to see him coming on as well?
I think in the very lowest key
of this passage, I think he's an example to every child.
Do you find the temple irksome? Do you find the assembly irksome? Do you find it boring?
Do you think of that blessed Master, the Lord Jesus, at 12 years of age? In all of God. I can think of a host of verses that come to my mind. Is it longing to get up to that place for a day? Is it looking for the walls and the gate and Mount Zion? And is it thinking of the excellency of Jacob? And the first time he would see the walls, I believe it will be a beat in his heart that never dwelt in any other place. Taste of the little Shekinah there.
Where God's presence was.
I was glad. I could really hear Christ singing. I was glad when I heard him say,
let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gate, O Jerusalem. Zion. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And there would be a great upsurges in that youthful heart.
And he moved up to the temple of God. Do you ever have anything like that, young man, in the meeting? Are you stone cold when you come in the door? Are you rushing to get a seat? Does it take half the meeting to settle you down? I believe, my dear friends, that as we come to gather to the Lord's name, there should be every day a holy anticipation of that most blessed of all gatherings. And the blessed Lord Jesus, oh, how he would feel about going up there. Isn't it most lovely, too, that they spent all the days, I take it that they spent the length of the feast there, and when the days were accomplished, notice, on Mary and Joseph's part, there was no rush to get out, and no rush to get away. And going to bring forward Christ in a different sphere altogether in a minute. You see, all the days, they loved it all. They loved the singing, and they loved the praise, and they loved the instruction, and they loved the gatherings.
Oh, and when the days were accomplished, there's something beautiful about that.
The only thing that I noticed is that in the Lord's life there is nothing really recorded of his impressions there. Let us move a little further.
Of these feasts of Jehovah at Jerusalem, notice that these feasts were not enough to satisfy
the great yearnings of his heart.
They may even satisfy Mary and Joseph, and they leave and they go with the others. But he lingers still. He lingers still. He lingers still.
You see, what satisfies normal people will never satisfy the Christ.
And so he lingers still, and he could not be satisfied.
You notice the heartbreak of the parents when they lose him? Notice the heartbreak of these parents when they lose him? I'm going to ask you one or two questions. I like that way of preaching anyway. Mind you, if you'd lived with Christ 12 years, you'd just miss him one day. How would you feel? If you'd watched him and seen him morning, noon and night, you'd raised him and fondled him and loved him and nourished him and guarded him and fled to Egypt with him and paid a big price in your character and moral life for him. I tell you, the first day you missed him, you would be sad. Thy father and I have sought these worlds. Mind you, to live with Christ for 12 years gives a man and woman a fund of spiritual enjoyment. Now, there's a few people in here have been on the road for 10 years. I take it those 10 years have been gazing on Christ, and looking in the Bible about Christ, and listening in the ministry to get another little game about Christ. I know that's why you come to the Bible reading, isn't it?
This is something not about Bible reading. I do not what a man knows. There is something that comes from that Bible reading.
That ministry, that gospel.
The whole concept of the testimony of God is to project Christ.
10 years you've been saved. Is Christ any nearer or dearer to you? There's some in here 20 years saved. Some will tell us 50, and some might be near 60. God bless every one of you. Mind you, I lift my hat to a man that's traveled the road 50 years. That's why I like to hear an old man preaching the gospel. Oh, see, someone, that's not the way. Oh, I don't care what's the way.
I want to tell you something. When a man has lived with Christ and passed his life and reared his children and met all the storms and did his best, not without failure,
something worth listening to that man if he's kept his life clean and walked with God and did his very best. There's a weight about that that there isn't about all the little sparks that fly about.
There's something bigger than it. 12 years. 12 years.
My dear ones, I appeal to you tonight. How Mary must have grown in 12 years.
How our knowledge of God must have accumulated in 12 years.
Away a day. Took a day to come back, and then took another day to find him. Simple, isn't it? Have you ever noticed when you slip away how difficult it is to get back? I know you'll not believe me, but I believe it.
I believe that restoration is just as good as your salvation. Want to know that?
Oh, I think it's far simpler to be saved than I don't think it's simple.
And it is to be restored back to God.
Let your soul get away. Let there enter a bitterness. Let there come in a canker of sin. Let there come in a folly. Let them come in an uncleanness. Let there come in an unholy ambition. Let there enter in some worldliness. And I tell you this, you'll never get back as quick as you went away. But I love this couple. Eventually they do get back, but before they did get back, they thought he was in the company. They actually thought he was with them. Oh, dear soul, are you an honest man and woman? Many times you thought you'd been going on. Many times you thought you'd Christ with you, and all the time, if the thing were really analyzed, you're nowhere. Supposed him to be in the company. There's many an assembly too think that.
Mind you, if you condone sin, and you fall away from the doctrines of grace, I want to tell you, I give no precedence that Christ is with you. Do you understand that Christ will just not be in there? They supposed him to be in the company.
And you're sad enough when you're away from God, but it goes a bit deeper when you go to them that you thought he was amongst.
They sought him amongst their kinsfolk and
queen. Mind you, when you've lost Christ and got out of touch with God, and you turn up to someone's door, and you find there's no peace for you, no Christ to get to you. Mind you, old laws and rules and regulations are not quite like Christ. You remember when the bride in the Song of Song, you remember she lay in the bed, you remember?
It's the voice of my beloved. Oh, she knew it was. And he says, I'm out here. My locks of dew are wet with the dew of night.
Oh, would she get out of bed? She was nice and comfortable. Reclining.
And he says, he put his hand in by the hole of the door. And he put his hand in by the hole of the door. Up she got.
You see, I think there's something distinct about that hand that went through the door.
I think it would be a nail-piercing hand. And when calls and appeals had all failed, the sight of the hand of the lover at the door was a thing that moved her.
She races for the door. She gets hold on the handle.
It says the handle drops sweet. And even get the sweet smelling there and the influence of Christ and the slow not face.
Out the door, into the city.
Into the street, crying to everyone, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I think I see Mary, the mother of Christ, going through the dark alleys and streets of Jerusalem and saying to everyone, saw ye him whom my soul loveth?
I don't think Mary had another thing that she lived for more,
but for Christ. Says that the bride in the song, she went to the watchman, the radigator. He actually wounded her and smote her, but he couldn't tell her where her lover was. Have ever you seen a picture like that in that chapter? I think it's 5:3 or 5.
Says until she gets out in the city and outside the gates.
What? Outside it altogether, says, I found him whom my soul loveth. And I laid hold on him and I held him and I would not let him go. Until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me.
No one feeling, Christ. Once you find him again, I tell you, you don't want to let him go. You don't want to let him go.
And you want to introduce him to your nearest and dearest?
Until I brought him into my mother's
house.
I can hear it here. And you think of a feeling. And you think of a feeling to lost.
I'm thinking of all the people that are in this meeting. I'm thinking our little time is going by for being in this land.
I want to say this to you. I think you're noble. And I think you're really wonderful. You're an honest man and woman. You're able to say that in this world. Don't get angry. I've been missing Christ. I've been living without Christ. I haven't been in the employment of spirit or things. My prayer life is gone. My exercises are very weak.
Be honest, man and woman, listen. Be honest. There's only a few more years to go. You'll soon be here. And you'll soon see him face to face. And you'll gaze upon his hands and feet and sight. And you'll worry all through eternity that you didn't love him so much.
If someone will be no worry.
No, I know there'll be no worry. Something wrong. Something wrong.
Eventually she gets to the temple. There he is sitting amongst the learned and the
wonder what kind of person do you ask him? Well, I think every one of them would have a motive. That's it.
I think every one of them would be based in scripture. That's it.
Yeah.
You would ask about Moses' serpent. You would ask about the apple wand. You would ask about David's son. Who was David's son? And when they would ask him questions,
oh, how I would love to have been eavesdropping at that meeting. How I noticed for the prudence of a boy. For the prudence of a boy. He didn't speak like a sage. He didn't speak as if he was a patriarch. Oh no, the whole context tells you the boy, his growth, and all these things that I've mentioned, and the steady progress of both spirit and soul and body, all going up the way.
Lovely.
And the difference in the word he grew, and he increased it through word altogether. It's advancement in the end word, lovely. Really beautiful.
You're sitting there listening to him.
Why was this incident the problem?
This incident was the problem. The very same as the shepherd incident was the problem.
And the same as the wise man. And the same as Simeon and Anna. And the same as all the others.
So that it would be in rest.
Another 18 years some of these people we saw with
us. You remember that boy in it? And that boy that was just? That boy that had different eyes. That boy that had different looks. That boy that was different in every way.
Plain, I believe. Not exceedingly beautiful. But confident. Yeah. The question that he asked. And all according to his age, possibly.
So beautiful the Lord was. So
electric in all his years. He never ever was old when he was young. Something beautiful about the Lord. There's nothing imbalanced about him. Nothing at all. He's discussing things with doctors of the law.
Well, not only so sad that they had lost him. Well, you've got through the city street. Notice something else too, and I want to speak to the lads in the meeting, the boys. Home we've about 46 children, half of them boys and girls, and they're all under 15, and often we address the children of the ministry, and they're all sitting there, the little boys all sitting tucked, and the little girls who are pigtails. They're just lovely. I miss them very much to the two of you. You notice we didn't need to go to Mrs. James Christie for that work. He knew he wouldn't be at any pleasure, huh? He knew he wouldn't be at any strange pleasure.
He should have made for the temple right away.
Because he knew the end of his life would be followed in. Oh, understand.
I want to tell you, did you find the meeting yet, son? Boring?
I want to tell this to your eternal God and glory. The joy of them, the thrill of them, the
blessing. Ah, exceeding to anything that this world can offer. Some of us were in it for a long number of years.
There's nothing quite like knowing. Dear young people, your father and mother are not just Quakers or Pilgrims or Victorians or Puritanical. They're not that at all. And the real source and joy of life now and eternally. Oh, be encouraged and go on in the ways of God.
I wonder too if in the passage when Mary comes to him and says, son, my father and I have not been following. Notice too that Mary's doing the talking.
I wonder if Joseph saw just as much, if not more than Mary.
My father and I have taught me sorrow.
Ah, and the Lord says, now that I'm 12, I'm not a son of the law.
That means you brought me up to Jerusalem, and you said, I'm now responsible, and I am. And I'm going to show that I'm responsible.
But you know that I'm not here.
He turns to Mary and he says, have you had with me 12 years now?
The end of my life, my father. You shared my father. You my father's will.
Do you not understand? so many, many times, even terrible people. Jesus, Father. Far out on many occasions, I want the people in the meeting tonight. Wish ye not? Now that I am 12, I am become very, very responsible. What is he saying? He's saying, I want you to understand that my interests at this stage are higher. My interests have now become nobler. My outlook is absolutely different. It never has been changed, but at this point of my life, at this crisis in my life, I want to be about the things of my Father. I don't think he's throwing any cold water on his relationship with Joseph at all. I really don't think that that is in question at all. I don't think he's hurting Joseph in any way at all. I do think that there's coming a day when you'll see possibly Joseph and his own father well up in the front street, to the front street in heaven. I don't think he's slighting him. Sing to Mary, don't you understand that I'm responsible now? The end of my life is to please God. I'm going to ask you a little question. I have thought that in life there are times. I have thought as there are stages in life with 7, 4, 2, 21, do you understand? I think there are stages in life. I think there are stages in the Christian. I think there's some kind of time. Now let us look at this. I think that there were 4 mountains in the life of Moses. The mount where he saw light from the bush. The mount of God. Now hold up. The second mountain he's on is Mount Sinai, where he gets the law of God. The third mountain is Mount Pisgah, the land. The fourth mountain he's on is the Mount of Transfiguration. I think in every man's life, the Spirit will be back, the Spirit will focus, and there are Spirit of Christ. The first one I want to prove to you is that there is a Moses law of future time that is not consumed. I think that we should go there. I think there are no Irish armies of future, and I think there is a certain because God, Rome, and Venus, but that's not the reason. I know it can be Christ. I know it can be the word of God in an application, but in interpretation, I think Israel. If I will know these are the words I want to bless and God said he saw it, he knew it was spectacular, he knew it was remarkable, he knew that the juice that was divine. There's something to do. Maybe you have felt the pull of God. I'm not talking about full time work. Maybe you felt the pull of God the most. The Lord gave him over to the hand of God. He did more things for the visitation and the widows and the poor and the sinners. He got it. Maybe you've seen a dying life. Revelation, does it come? Turn away from what you've been engaged in. Turn away from it and draw near to the bush. There's light in the bush. There's a voice in the bush. There's revelation in the bush. There's a future comes out of the bush.
And God saw that his son. God said Moses.
Moses never was the same after he went up Mount Sinai. He got a glory up that mountain here to feel his very fear. You know, you cannot be near to God and not be changed. You cannot live near to God and not be changed. The change of spirit.
I'll prove that to you.
It says that when they looked upon Stephen, when he began his defense, the Holy Spirit shone with the face of him. at the end of that chapter, this is what it said about their faces.
He had an angelic face. They had a bestial face.
I tell you that Stephen only reflected the spheres of his daily life. I was in the presence of God, and I tell you this, I say this to you, I want to understand. I hope you don't misunderstand. I believe heaven was open to Stephen before that day. Stephen lived in the light of an open heaven. The face of Christ would not be strange. I wonder if Christ is going to be strange to us. Now I know we sing, we love it. They are no stranger. God shall meet us. Oh, that we might cultivate to see by the divine spirit the dear blessed face of our Lord. Oh, I appeal to you, Moses never was the same after the Lord God came down in his heart. The mighty God of that land, I know that Canaan is Emmanuel's land, I understand that. But brethren, I do believe. This is my last evening. I want this to come into your heart. I do believe that heaven is open to everyone.
There's someone I'm waiting for this week by and by. The Lord bless you, so am I.
I have not seen the ear there, neither have entered into the heart of man. Is that the younger king of man? The great things that God hath prepared for them that love. Not to have to hear them. That means that heavenly things are open to us. And we don't need to be in the dark about heaven.
And we shouldn't be ashamed to preach about heaven.
Mind you this, while we were coming here, I'm no tourist and certainly not much of a traveller. Before he tried danger, I thought I would enter that tourist place and see what these people were like. And I thought it was this. Multi-story flat in the big harbour. I thought I was a little mouse, you know, in coming to that. You think if you were going to use help, sometimes it would work out, didn't you? You were going to heaven, you saw the children sometimes.
Man, if heaven was in our hearts, we would talk about it and we would sing about it. And we would love and cherish the very thought of it.
You know, a real Christian would love the Lord to come now. And a doubtful and a carnal one would dread it. And I thought the Lord's coming would be hateful to any ungodly.
The Spirit in the bride. Not the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit in the bride. Say, come! That means that there's something by the Spirit in us that yearns to see Him
and longs to be with Him. Oh, I'm sure of this. If we're going to heaven, there'll be a lot more talk about it and a lot more talk about Him that shall fill our gaze. I'm going to take 5 minutes down to Nazareth. It's a strange thing you read about my Father's business, that the Lord is just going to be taken up with the Bible and readings and doctors and the law and, you understand?
It's amazing how these two things are linked.
Holy life, dedicated to God, and yet doing the normal, ordinary thing. You see, it's because we have never put the normal, ordinary housework, job life, vocation, call it whatever you like. Until we actually get that in a proper focus and the right colour in our glasses, that we're not doing it because of the drudgery of the job, or because it's the right thing we're in, or because we're good at it, or anything like that. Would to God we should raise the secular things of our life to a holy level.
And do it as unto the Lord. Did someone I think there was a glamour about Nazareth?
Well, I think you're wrong.
Did someone I think there's a glamour about the carpenter?
I want to tell you, I don't agree with you. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus was used with noise.
and dirt, and soil hands, and dealing with the most factious people this world has ever known, and the people that always like to get and never get, and when they sold anything they liked a big price, but when they bought it they liked a bargain.
The Lord Jesus lived with those people all the time.
That's why in the book of the laws it says thou shalt not have divers weights within thy bag. Well, what is that? That's clear.
Well, you see, when the Jew was doing deals in gold and things like that, when he was buying gold, he put his hand into his bag and he felt the weight. And he knew by the touch of the weight, that was the one to buy with.
And when he was selling, he knew the touch of the other one. That's the one he sold with.
Have you ever thought of the blessed Lord Jesus working with his hand?
Have you ever thought about him working from early morning to late at night?
Have you ever thought of him working in the worst town in the whole province
with the greatest ill repute? Any good thing come out of Nazareth?
And I think the most blessed thing of all in my heart that rejoices at tonight is it. But in the 3.5 years that he ministered and preached and healed, never one of the Nazarenes ever become saved. It was a faulty job. The price was too big. There was polyfill in the holes. Something cracked because of bad workmanship.
And if they could, they would.
They brought up other things that are most nauseating.
They brought up everything that was nauseating. We be not born of fornication. They could bring it up, they would.
But no spot or stain did they ever defile.
The Holy Lamb of God. Downing was subject to his parents.
What a message from 1979.
When everyone thinks they're wiser than their father and mother, and when everyone says Jack's as good as his master.
Well, I don't believe that.
Oh, thank God I had my father and mother today. But I might love them more and honor them more than I did in my youth.
Help you.
I want to tell you, you're not fit for fellowship.
You're not obedient to your father and mother?
You don't want disobedient children in the fellowship.
I want to tell you, you're not good to your father and mother.
We don't want you either!
I want to say this, if you're unbearable, and you can't be lived with at home,
I want to tell you, you're not fit for the fellowship.
Of the blessed Lord, knowledge, indescribable, grace, wisdom, everything,
subject to Mary and Joseph,
served his apprenticeship under the noble Joseph, obedient to his own dear mother. How lovely.
I want to speak to you. I want to speak to your heart as I sit down.
Those who are disobedient to the parents are sad, miserable days at the end of the day.
Subject unto them.
I never found it difficult to be subject to my elders. I never found it difficult to be subject to my father. Of course he was fair, and he was just. Oh, we didn't live with a silver spoon in our mouth or anything like that. Many a time our ears would dingle with the back of his hand upon it. But oh, how I loved him. How I loved my father.
Blessed Lord Jesus, an example to every young person. And notice something else. Are you interested to be a worker in the work of the Lord?
Yeah.
Notice the Lord Jesus Christ spent 6 times more time at Nazareth than ever he did in public ministry.
18 years! 18 years planing and sowing and working and sweating! 18 years! Hidden.
I believe that all who go to the work of the Lord should have a measure of maturity. That's my firm conviction.
I don't believe they should be old or grey-headed. That's not it at all. I know you need that energy of youth. I appreciate all that.
There should be a measure of a life that's been hidden.
Of an obedience that has been seen. Of hard work that has been engaged in. I believe that no one should come off the dole. I don't know what you call it here. And go into the work of the Lord.
Every man that Jesus called,
one was busier than the other.
Subject, Andrew. Then, I sit down. I've noticed that those that can be subject to others, they never receive subjection when their turn comes.
Remember the sowing and reaping that I preach to you these nights. What you sow, you reap. If you're respectful, you'll get respect. Oh, and best of all, do you feel like Mary, you're lacked and miss of Christ? Don't go home without Christ. That was what she made up her mind about that. And not going home without Christ.
Home wouldn't be the same without Christ.
That's the point I want to get over with you. Your life will never be the same without Christ. Court Christ, go in for Christ. There's nothing quite like it in all this world. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we come to Thee to lean upon Thee and to ask Thee for grace to love Thee more and for a deeper understanding of Thy ways, and not just for a theoretical knowledge of Thy way work, but we would love to know the truth as it is in Jesus, as it was lived out in that lovely, humble life, as it was seen in those beautiful steps and gracious actions, as it was seen in that most noble mind, and that heart that was pure in motive. O God, Thou knowest these are the deepest yearnings of our souls. Forgive us, Lord, we've not moved on as we ought. We feel our great lack before Thee, and yet we're yearning more and more to be like Him. Bless every saint that's here. Thou knowest where we all are in spiritual state. Grant mercy and peace to us all. We ask of Thee from this night on there shall be a real dedication to the cause of Christ. And we pray that many shall run after Him with all their heart. And thus we claim Thy blessing in parting. Take everyone home and give us all the fear of God in our souls. And thus we part in His name.